Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. Happy, happy spring. We are here in spring officially in Colorado. I can attest to it because I just came in from outside and declared the first green grass sprouting in our yard, and the snow is finally melted. It makes me so happy as the seeds of spring will be planted soon. This is my favorite time of year. I feel it in my bones, in my body, and I reflect it right back in my business. It feels really fun to be in that sprouting mode in my business. And so I love this time of year. I hope you're feeling it as well. Impact and legacy have led my personal passion in my business for many years. It's why I do what I do. It's the vision. It's the fire. It's my heart and soul reason for doing the work that I get to do every day. My clients and my community are driven by these same desires, how they make a difference. So many of them escape the corporate world to make a bigger difference with the gifts of who they are and their genius. And they want to show up and they want to matter. In fact, right now, as this launches, we are in the midst of week one of a 2-week series in my Extraordinary Women Connect Facebook group called Own Your Genius. I have done this every year for the past 3 years, showcasing the good work my clients are doing in the world. It's so much fun for me to share their work and their impact. I invite you to join us in this series that is being shown exclusively in my Extraordinary Women Connect Facebook group. The ripple effect of impact that is created by one woman raising up her voice to reach others, who raises up their voices to reach others. Yes, that makes me so happy. I am on a mission to reach 1 million women in this big rippling pond of ours. And a core part of that legacy is how our work carries forward beyond us in bigger ways than ourselves. I've been giving a lot of thought to this question this year as I think about my own business's growth and future. And as I help my clients step into their next level of growth in my Scale Growth and Impact Platinum Mastermind group, this is the evolution and this is the stretch in our way of thinking. I believe we all want something more for our businesses beyond ourselves. I'm feeling it right now. And that's why I'm so excited about today's conversation with our guest, Marla DiCarlo. This is what she teaches. She is the co-owner and CEO of Raincatcher. Today she shares, we should start at day one thinking about how to create lasting value in our businesses. Marla and her team at Raincatcher helps business owners create value in their businesses by helping them get their businesses ready to sell so that their legacy can continue beyond the founder. She shares so much business savvy and business wisdom today. Tune in, get out your notebook and a pen, and get ready to take some good notes. Let's meet Marla DiCarlo. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Marla. It is so exciting to have you here today.
Thank you. I am so happy to be here, Cami. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, and you and I haven't got to meet face-to-face yet. We're both part of the Dames, and I know we've had Susan Frew on, who's also part of Raincatchers, and you're the founder of Raincatcher, so I'm super thrilled to have you here with us today, and just to learn more about your journey, and hear what you've built. I think it's really exciting. So many of us don't think about what's the future of our business, what's an exit strategy for our business. And, you know, I think it's just one of those things that we should be looking at earlier in our business than we think of. And, you know, as I get closer to retirement age, I start to think about these sorts of things. So this is an interview that I've been super excited about to just even, you know, hear your wisdom in this space. So I'm super excited.
Well, thanks, Cami. I appreciate that. And I could not agree more. I'm glad you said that, right? Because this conversation is not just about an exit, but how do you think about these things from day one so that you create a more profitable, valuable business?
Exactly.
And then figure out, right, what you want to do with it. So,
yeah. I mean, I think so many of us start our businesses with the passion of what we're doing and how we want to make an impact.
Yes.
And if we can start thinking about our businesses from a longer term impact than beyond us. And I think that's the, you know, for me, it's always been about impact. It's always been about how do I make a difference for people, right?
Yes.
And to start thinking about that it can continue to make a difference beyond me is exciting.
Yes.
And so, 100%. Okay, let's get into some of your wisdom.
Well, you could have provided a better segue to why I do what I do today. I mean, it was like we wrote it down because that's a big part of who I am, what you just said. It matters to me very much to make a difference. Like it's how I'm wired. You know, I don't always talk about this, but I think this is the right forum and audience to just kind of bring in to be a little vulnerable. I went to college originally to become a social worker. And, you know, I found, gosh, that's just not what I want to do. I love people. I love helping others, but it's just not my strength, you know? And so long story short, director of human services pulled me aside and we did some brainstorming and I decided to go into accounting. And
that's a big shift.
No, huge. Well, she thought maybe marketing. She kept pushing, but you know, I am creative and I got, you know, that side of me, but that just didn't sound fun. I always loved numbers. I've always had a passion for, you know, wow, that's like, I found the algebra interesting. So go figure, right?
Yeah.
So I went into accounting, but I was very blessed how I started my career because I went into property management, real estate and development, mm-hmm. and it was just a very diverse group. Like you learn a lot in that industry. And I recognized very early in my career, oh, I'm different. I'm different than the stereotypical accountant because though I know the numbers and I understand it and I love the numbers, I also love people.
Yeah.
And so it helped me to stand out from the crowd where I advanced up and stood out from my peers, you know, and it gave me opportunities such as working with a sales team. I remember being involved on this project where we were revamping the entire company processes. I mean, manufacturing down to the seminars that we did, everything. And it came time where my CFO said, okay, there was 5 staff accountants. Who wants to go train the salespeople? And everybody's head went down.
Except yours.
I do, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it helped me. So I ended up branching off with one of the owners of the property management real estate group that I worked with. What he did is he sold a bunch of assets and created a portfolio of about $500 million. And he had some big ideas. This guy was so smart. He was my mentor. I mean, Harvard, Stanford, London Business Economics, Boston Consulting Group. I mean, smart.
He had all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what he tasked me to do is he said, Marley, you understand numbers. You get the way you process is very unique, but you make people feel comfortable. And so I would fly out, meet with the business owners, look at their operations, look at their team, look at their financials, and then figure out if they were a fit for our portfolio. But really what we were doing back then, I mean, this is 2004 then at that point, we were helping owners with an exit strategy.
Right.
Because it's always been there, right? Owners mm-hmm. have a great idea or a great product, but oftentimes a small business owner does not have the formal education of, you know, what is all the business acumen you need in order to create a successful company.
Yeah.
So I just fell in love. I mean, that was the first time I worked with small business owners. Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were really helping them see deeper into their business and, you know, see angles of their business that they couldn't see by themselves.
Yes. And what stood out the most, and again, this comes back to my love for numbers, was, oh my gosh, why did they make the decisions they did, looking at the historical, you know, story, the financials of their business? And what it was is oftentimes they had a bookkeeper, a great bookkeeper, a great even accountant, mm-hmm. but they didn't have someone at the CFO like level to help them look at it differently, right? My brain processes differently and I look at things that it's not the CEO couldn't see, they just didn't.
Right.
And so what I realized is, oh, they need help here.
Certainly.
So in 2007 and 2008, you know, the investment
right at the time of all the craziness.
We all remember that world. Luckily,
yes.
No one in my group got in any trouble. We were all good. But I then found myself, I just moved to Denver. Mm-hmm. I knew no one. I knew the path to the airport. That was about it. And so I thought, you know what? I want to help people with their financials. I want to help them to understand financials and cash management and why it's important. And that was what it was, is a fractional CFO company I created. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of new.
So like, that's where you started, is you actually created a fractional CFO. And people weren't doing that really in 2008. I mean, you know, I came out of the marketing world. And when people started talking about chief marketing officers as a fractional hire, I was like, oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So I love that model of being able to bring that level of expertise into your company, even if you are the smallest company, right?
And
it gives us a different advantage in how we look at growing our businesses.
You could not have said that better. And I encourage any business owner that is listening to this, please, if you feel like I'm not good with math, like Susan Threw always talks about that. And so how can I ever understand my financials? A good CFO, a good accountant, will it help you to learn? That's their job, is to help you understand those financials, because you can't make good decisions as a business owner unless you understand the story and you have a plan. Mm-hmm. It won't happen. I'm telling you, if you are, you're just lucky and get it in place soon, you know?
Yeah.
So I built that company and was so proud of it. But I hit kind of a roadblock. I built it to about 225 clients. You know, I had, you know, employees and subs and just, you know, making a difference in small business owners' lives. But I realized, gosh, I need some capital to continue to grow it. And I think I need somebody who's kind of been there, done that. I feel like I need something more. Well, this is before I learned about the value builder, stuff and what I know today and how I approach talking with a business owner. And so I sold my company to a mm-hmm. private equity group. And I tell this story because it was the first time I sold my company.
A little different than helping other people sell their company.
Man, I always talk about, I had been through a lot of transactions at that point, but never my own. And
so what was different? Everything.
It was like, I tell the story because I think this is the best way to tell how I felt. I was sitting in a training room at the group's office and I was going to continue with them. And I'm sitting with a training partner and they walked out of the room and I'm just furious. And I looked at them and I said, did they just tell me how they're going to fire some of my employees and change my clients and change my services and write my. And I was like, oh, so mad, right? I can't believe they're going to do this. What are they doing? And what I had to come to terms with is that, one, it was no longer my business.
Right.
But two, you know, it was kind of like letting your child go on to college. I had taken it to a level where it had the foundation, it had, you know, the bones to be able to survive and flourish. And so I had to look at it that way, that this was no longer my company and I had to let this go and let it turn into something. Mm. And it was hard.
Totally, Marla. I totally get that. And it's so interesting. So when I was in the corporate world, and so I came into being an entrepreneur in the year 2009, I left the corporate world 2008. And at that time, in the last 2 years of my business, my company acquired 20 different companies. Wow. And so I was on the integration team, right, of bringing these companies in. So I could completely see, I mean, I can go back to all the CEOs of all those companies and see that same kind of experience where they're like, well, this is how we do it. Yeah. And being attached to that. And, you know, you'd been doing that on the other side, and suddenly this was you got to experience that. How did you maneuver through that? Because it's, you know, that founder has so much wisdom and so much knowledge, and yet that mm-hmm. next level of growth is something different.
Yeah, it was hard. I got to tell you, my identity was 100% tied to that business. Mm-hmm. I mean, those were my friends, you know, those.
Your clients, your friends, your connections that you've worked so hard to create.
Love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, you know, the deal was done. And mm-hmm. so I just, you know, I believe that, you know, lessons are meant for a reason. I really do. And I feel like I just had to get to a space that, okay, this didn't quite work out the way I thought it was going to. Mm-hmm. It's not the worst. You know, it's still a great group. My employees are happy. My customers will be taken care of. And I just have to, you know, learn the lesson from this. And so what is that? And, you know, what's funny is I remember going through the training and thinking, you know what my skill is that love for people, but also the business acumen that the experiences that I had. I mean, at that point, Cammie, I had worked, when I say I've worked with over 500 business owners easily, you know, because I realized, not everybody gets that experience. And so how do I use that for good? Like how can I help that small business owner? And it's not me saying, well, this is what I think you should do. It's, well, this is what I've seen. I have this experience. I have this experience, and this is what I've seen works best.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it actually led me to Raincatcher. So at that time, I had been the CFO for a gentleman. His name is Robert Hirsch, and he had this idea around Raincatcher of why aren't business brokers and M&A firms advertising online? Because that was such a big thing in 2016 mm-hmm. to small business owners about selling their business. And they weren't. Yeah. So he set up he had a marketing acumen, and he brought me in because I had the business and the CFO and CEO experience. And I grew the company to a point where I wanted to purchase it from him. So I purchased it from him in 2018. And this is where Raincatcher is where I can have the biggest impact. Mm. It's where I can help business owners not only with their exit, but help them to understand what it takes to build not a sellable company, but a valuable company. Yeah. And there's a lot there. Yeah. So
you've got the service of helping companies build, you know, start paying attention to this much earlier in their business and grow. Now am I understanding correctly that there's also a back end helping you sell your business? I mean, online, is that kind of where it started and then the other parts came together, or how did that all fit together?
Great question. Actually, funny story, because of his marketing background and because we were kind of pioneers in the digital marketing space, I was thinking maybe we would generate 50 leads, you know, like advertising online. Well, when we turned on all of our advertising, we generated like 300 leads that first month. And I went, I'm like, please stop, like turn off everything. I had no idea this could happen, right?
Yeah.
Like
business
owners were just like, yes, I need to talk to you. And so what we worked on is, you know, of course, you know, treating each and every lead with the respect that they deserve and helping them. And so creating a funnel that could educate them and get them right away and, you know, make them feel valued. Like that's a big part of Rain Catcher. But coming back to your question, adding that value building service was just like the neon light went on.
It's so smart because that was all of your expertise that you've been doing for so long.
It was the same problems.
Right.
Yeah. That I'd seen in the past. Same questions.
Oh, that's so awesome. I love this. And it's and so let's dig into why you want every business owner to really start considering this exit strategy right from the very beginning of their business.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing I always talk about in my world, okay. Mm-hmm. So my world is a business broker. There are certain criteria, certain factors that in a business that if they don't have that in place, they're going to be discounted somehow.
Right.
Right. So
we were talking a little bit about this before we jumped on the call. So it meaning you can get to, you know, you've got this value placed on your company and they start chunking off dollars because of something.
They do. Yeah. Because, you know, think you have to look at the lens through the lens of a buyer. And so I just told a story about my child and how much I loved that business, right? Well, most of the business owners that we talk to, I would say that are below, you know, let's say like 25 million in enterprise value. They all feel the same way. They are the founders. They created it. They hired the employees. They are the foundation of that business.
Right.
So it's easy when you are looking, you know, at your business, like a parent looking at their child, like, oh, isn't this thing so perfect, right? That you can overlook certain faults, you know, certain things that still are lacking that that business needs to grow.
Yeah.
Where a buyer comes in and they're looking at it third party. There's no emotional attachment there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to look at things through a lens of what I often talk about is it cheaper for me to build this business versus buy this business? That's what's most important. And so a lot of owners don't understand because nobody's told them that there are certain things that they need to have in place if they want to maximize value, but not even the purchase price. Have a choice on who continues that legacy of that business.
So having multiple people coming to have this conversation with you versus one.
100%. I would say, Cammy, that I would say that about, you know, 35-40% of the owners that we talk to, they think that their first, you know, number one issue is the purchase price, but it's not. As you start talking to them, you're like, you have brought up your customers and your team and your executive staff at least 50 times. I think I'm going to venture out and say, I think it matters to you who carries on, who buys your business first.
Exactly.
That's what's most important to you.
And I would agree with that. I mean, if it's not the right person, it doesn't seem like it carries forward the legacy that you want to create.
100%. And so think about that. I mean, if you're a business owner that has been focused on culture and, you know, you have really put a lot into, you know, how you hired your employees and building that team and, you know, you've got something unique. If you bring in a certain buyer type, mm-hmm. who doesn't care about those things, has their own management team,
right?
Probably wants to reduce overhead, so they're going to fire a bunch of people. How are you going to feel when you exit that business?
Right.
It's important to think about, you know, what is the legacy that you want that business to continue forward?
Yeah.
And also employees, you know, if they're used to a certain culture and a business style, you get somebody in there that's like, culture, I don't care about that, or don't care about core values. Well, that's like a foreign language to those employees, and they're going to feel lost and they're going to leave. And then what happens to the brand and the reputation of that business?
Yeah.
So there's all these things are really important to consider. yeah. from a business owner perspective.
Yeah. So how do we build value for the long term in our business? I mean, from the what is it that creates? And I think you call them your 8 value drivers. Is that it?
Yeah.
You want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah. So these are factors, criteria that a buyer is going to, I call it like a checkoff list. 100%, this is what they're going to be looking at. Mm-hmm. Most important is financial performance. Mm-hmm. If you have financials where the buyers, and even more so after COVID, if the buyer doesn't feel comfortable with the numbers that they're looking at historically, how can they feel comfortable building out a plan, a 5-year, 10-year plan for the business?
Right.
They're not. So more than ever, even, you know, I think one of the things COVID showed us is that risk and you know, something business owners are always mitigating, but it can happen overnight.
Yeah.
And
drop from where they'd been.
Yes.
That might have happened to some businesses.
That's right.
Or so, they were able to maintain.
And we have lots of stories, wonderful stories of businesses that were able to maintain, were able to survive. But I'll tell you, the common thread that kept them together was good financials and a cash management plan. Mm-hmm. And so that buyer needs to be able to see how that business owner projects that they're going to double revenue, you know, over the next year or 2 years or whatever. And also that buyer needs to understand what is the story of that business. And that's where the financials come in, you know? Well, okay, I see that you did double your revenue, but you ended up, you know, not making very much free cash flow over these 2 years. Why was that?
Yeah.
And so it's really important that your financials are put together.
Yeah. And I love that you attach story to your financials, because that's not something that I often think of. What's the story behind my financials?
Yeah.
And I love story, and story tells, I mean, when you apply it to our financials, there can be expansiveness in that.
100%. I used to do a presentation that was called the power of your financials. And I would talk about, you have to fall in love with your numbers first off, you know, because that is your business. That's how you gear how you're doing, you know, and it helps you to make more educated decisions. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, go ahead. So number two
that comes to mind is hub and spoke. And that is the owner dependency of the business on the business owner, which is the most common. I mean, probably easily 80%, you know, of the businesses until they reach a milestone, that business is dependent on you. And I often say, I don't mean to confuse startups who are just starting their business. You are your business, you know, unless you were lucky enough to bring in capital or did something different. You're the person who people are buying for. You're the one doing all the work. That's normal. But there comes a time, you know, probably you should start to be able to hire your first employees by year 2. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, maybe you need to go back and look at the profit of the services or products that you're offering or how you're doing things, right? But from day one, talking to a startup, you can start to work on reducing owner dependency for in the future. Like by documenting processes, putting systems in place.
Yeah.
No one wants a business where the owner has to tag along for forever. You know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think making that shift, I mean, that's certainly been a big shift in my business recently, where I've been starting to say, what are the things that I'm spending my time on? And why am I spending my time on these things? Yeah. Right. I mean, and who could do these things better? So those are such powerful questions to ask.
Yeah. You know, Kimmy, I used to do this exercise with my clients that I loved. And what I would do is a process flow chart. Uh-huh. So we would sit down and we would do at a macro level the processes of their business. Mm-hmm. And then we would break them down into the micro, you know, tasks of the business. And then we would color code everything they did. And then what we would do is we would go back and assign a dollar value to that task. And then, you know, that's a no-brainer. That's a great way to look at it differently.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. What's number three? I don't know if we're going to get through all of them, but let's see what we can do here.
Yeah. So number three is around the Switzerland structure, which is customer concentration, supplier vendor concentration, or employee concentration. So when I talk about customer concentration, it's great if you've, you know, locked down a few large clients. Wonderful. I don't mean to say that's a bad thing. Be very careful when that makes up more than, and there's all kinds of numbers that float around. I feel like 25% or more of your business.
Okay. Makes
sense.
You need
to be concerned. Yeah. Right. Because what happens like COVID if they go out of business?
Right.
You know, that
right.
You've already got employees and an infrastructure to support them, and now you're not getting that revenue anymore. So mm-hmm. just diversify your revenue.
Yes.
Employees, same thing. Be careful that if you have key employees that are really important to your business, great. But make sure that you have bonus models in place that incentivize them to stay with your business mm-hmm. and that they want to be a part of growing the future of your business.
You know, they're bought into the vision.
Yes, 100%. And then supplier. We all saw that with COVID.
Right.
Borders closed. What do you do now? So always right. have a plan B. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And so that makes me think of the next thing that I think is really important. And that is I'll cover two of the drivers, growth potential and then monopoly control. So growth potential is how can you expand services, products into other markets? And there's lots, a lot of times it's geographical. It may be, you know, firmographic, like there's lots of different ways that you can expand. But if your business is stagnant, no one's interested in buying a business that doesn't have the potential to grow.
Right.
So always have a plan. And then with that, how you can expand into other markets is through having a differentiator, that monopoly control. Warren Buffett, that's one of the first or second things that he looks at is what he calls it a moat. What is the moat around a business? So think of like a castle, right? Back in the medieval days, and they had the water surrounding the castle so that intruders couldn't just jump the wall easily. Well, that's the same thing in business. You want to create a differentiator that makes it difficult for a competitor or a new entrant into your business to take your business overnight. So you want to a differentiator, a reason why clients would not choose someone else over you.
Right.
Very
nice. So I think that's five. Can you do the other three?
Yes. Quickly. Yes.
Okay.
The next thing would be free cash flow.
Uh-huh.
And that is where oftentimes when you're building a business and your revenue goes up, your free cash flow goes down. Because what happens is business owners pay more attention to that top line revenue instead of what is the profit, what is the free cash flow that's being created in your business. When a buyer buys a business, they write two checks, one for the assets and that business itself, what you created. The second one is the cash flow it generates.
Right.
So you're going to get
they're not looking at it at the revenue perspective. They're looking at the cash flow that it's generating.
Cash flow. That's right.
Yeah.
Third, the next thing would be recurring revenue. There are so many ways that businesses can create, you know, cash flow so that at least they can cover their operating expenses, their overhead. So they're not stressing about, how do I get this next customer? And there's so many ways to do that. And then the last thing would be, I just drew a complete blank. It is actually a very important one. Give me 1 minute. So we talked about the recurring revenue. Oh, of course. Oh my gosh, I'm embarrassed. So customer satisfaction.
And that's important, of course, right?
Right. I love the NPS model because I think a lot of business owners have an assumption because their customer told them, oh, I love working with you or I love so-and-so. But are they raving fans? Are they
telling others?
Yeah, exactly. And so pay attention to that. That's really important.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Excellent. This is so good. And so if somebody, you know, so we have a lot of coaches and consultants in this community that are listening.
Yes.
What's one piece of advice you would tell them to think about right now in their business And, you know, some of these are, you know, single, just, you know, I'm a solo, you know, solopreneur. I don't even, even like to use that word because I have lots of team members around me that are contractors. But at the end of the day, I'm the one person in my business. What's the one piece, one, the most important thing that we could be thinking about right now today in our businesses to really think about that longer term perspective?
Yeah, I think what comes to mind is, where are you spending your time? I think it's very easy for anyone, any person, to just be busy for the sake of busy. It's the world we're programmed in this time frame to be like that. Yeah. And so set aside time to have white space. That's a green book, right? Yeah. Set aside time to be able to really think about, what are you doing in your business and how is your business growing? Are you spending your time in the best place? Are you focusing on the best services and the products? A big problem I see with business owners is they start doing something and then a customer says, well, do you offer this? Yeah,
we can offer this. Well, here we go.
You're great at tech.
Yes.
One thing.
Yes.
You need to go back and look at financials, look at your business model, specifically if you're a solo entrepreneur, and think about, where do I serve the most? Where do I feel fulfilled? Where do I feel like I add the most value? And where am I the most profitable?
Yeah. And it's so good. And it's, I have an upper level mastermind for women who have hit that six figures and above. And one of the things I've been telling them is, let's make space for your CEO hat to come on, right? It's like, how do you put your CEO hat on a regular basis? And not just not just as a, oh, I did that last month. This is on a regular basis where you're really working on your business versus in your business.
Oh, yes.
So yeah, I love this. I totally love this. So good. Oh boy, I could just go on and on in here, but I want to dig in a little bit about how, because I know, you know, we started this conversation around the impact that we want to be able to make, the legacy we want to leave. And I know your company does contribute back into into community. So tell us a little bit about that and why that's important for you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So now we're going to tug at my heartstrings. It matters so much to me that small business can continue to evolve and grow and business owners are successful. Like it's part of my DNA. Mm-hmm. And so, some of the ways that we do that is we offer free seminars. Like we have a ton of virtual seminars that we present, Susan and myself, that are totally free. That there's some great information in there that will help you just looking at your business differently.
Right.
I think that's the key, is just surrounding yourself with knowledge so that you can then figure out what works best for your business. And big advocates around that. We offer planning days where we'll often do workshops in our different communities. We have one coming up in Kansas City, April 28th, where if you sign up before April 7th, I believe it's free. And we do that because it's going to be a full workshop day. You get Susan, myself, and one of our managing directors. Huge. Wow. And we're going to work on your business. You get a workbook and you're going to go through some of the things I just talked about and actually ask questions and work on your business. And, you know, I think the biggest way that we've contributed back to, you know, our community is in the way that my employees show up. So all of them like have volunteer or groups that they sit on boards, you know, it may be Big Brother, it might be the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, like big on giving back to the community and helping this world. It's pretty crazy.
And it's such a good way to, I'm a big fan of being on boards as well. I've been on boards for several years. I'm actually taking a little board hiatus right now because I've done it for so many years. It's been over a decade. So I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Let's take a little breather before I do my next board step. But what I will say, it's been such a valuable way to contribute back into the world. And it's also a wonderful, beautiful way to make, to build connections and to build relationships with amazing people. So I'm a big believer in that one as well.
Yeah. You know, Cammie, I don't think every business owner knows the amazing resources that are available to a small business owner. And if you're in Colorado in the Denver area, oh my gosh, our SBDC, Small Business Development Centers, are fantastic. SBA has programs too, where you can go in and you can get mentors and you can, it's not for everyone, right? I'm talking like a startup that's just getting started. And if I could mention one more thing, if you're a business owner that's been in business, I'm just going to put a number on it. I don't think there is one, but let's say 3 years or more, consider getting a coach. If you
absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean it's the coaches have shaped my business over the years. And
me too.
Because they help us see, you know, give us knowledge that they've worked through and earned, you know, worked hard to gain that knowledge.
Yes.
And they will help us stretch bigger. They will help us grow in ways that we may not grow or step into places we may not grow. And they can see things through a whole different lens.
Yeah. It's really important. I think some business owners are afraid, like, I don't know if they feel like maybe it's a sign of weakness, like they should know this stuff.
That's so silly.
You can't know everything.
And I've had over the course of, you know, I think I'm almost 12 years into my business right now. And I have hired different coaches for different types of things.
Right? Yes.
And I think that's just such a, and I've just recently hired a new coach. It's an incubator out of Nova Scotia. And I, you know, it's just, it's such a gift to be able to have that kind of support. So
yeah,
big, big believer. So where can people learn more about you and learn more about Rain Catcher?
Yeah, thank you. So you can always go to raincatcher.com. And the thing I always tell business owners about is we offer a free valuation and also a free assessment on some of the criteria drivers we just discussed. And we do that for anyone. So if, even if you're not looking to sell, you know, in the next year, 2 years, you know, maybe you never want to sell. I feel that's a great benchmark and it's a good way for a business owner to have a realistic view of their business, right? So start there. It's a great way. You can't miss it. Free valuation, click on it. The other thing is we've got some events coming up. And so if you want to go online and sign up for those, we would love to have you. Love to talk to small business owners. So also feel free to reach out anytime. I'm Marla at raincatcher.com. And I would answer anyone who sends me an email. Just want to help.
Excellent. Excellent. I love this. And I love how you give so freely and, you know, just helping people, extending an arm like that. And it's just, it's so aligned with my own values. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So the final question I always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today? You've given us so many. This can be just all encompassing. What are three pearls that come for you?
Yeah. Okay. First one that comes to mind is drop the ego.
Business owners
have big egos. Drop the ego. Yeah. Had to learn that the hard way. Second nugget, like I said, pay attention to your financials. Don't put the blinders on. You know, pay it. If you've got some cash flow issues going on, there's ways to handle that. Mm-hmm. Don't give up. Yeah. And then the third thing that comes to mind is surround yourself with your community. If you're a woman, like right here, Cammie, with what you're doing in your group, you know, there's so many powerful, powerful women out there and who want to help you. It's not just you and I, right? We
meet
people every day.
Every day.
Raise your hand, ask a question, surround yourself with community. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Marla, it is so great to have you on and thank you for sharing all your wisdom. Congratulations on the wonderful things you're building. It really is. It's exciting. I'm excited for you.
Thank
you so much for being with us today. I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business for impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.